Today on Real Radio.
Life magazine has got a picture of Jesus, I guess. And it says, who was he? And, you know, you read the article, and it's about as inaccurate and atheistic and New Age as you can possibly get. But I kind of found it ironic that Life magazine would be asking the question, Jesus, who is he? Who was he? The very author of life, Jesus Christ. Life magazine's asking, who is he? They ought to know who he is. He's the very author, and yet they've missed him. And you read the article in here, and it's just kind of a crack-up. It's sad. But you know what? I turned right over to the comment that they asked for an atheist. And if you're an atheist this morning, I know that you're much more intelligent than the man that offered up the definition for the atheist concerning Jesus. I wouldn't change a word that he said.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We'll be looking at chapter 11 in verses 19 through 26. It's part of the section of this narrative that speaks of the transition of the good news being spread from Messianic Jews into the surrounding Gentile communities. Now, this is the first time the word Christian is used, and as many are not aware, it was not originally meant to be a favorable term. But it stuck, and so those who follow Jesus and are born from above have since gone by that title. So, here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation, the title of which is arguably one of the most important questions we could ask, as long as we seek the true answer.
Now, those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of those things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to go down as far as Antioch. And when he came and he had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And we're going to pause right there and really complete the chapter and get into the next chapter next week. But I don't know if you caught this at the newsstand or not. I had to laugh, but Life magazine has got a picture of Jesus, I guess. And it says, who was he? And, you know, you read the article, and it's about as inaccurate and atheistic and New Age as you can possibly get. But I kind of found it ironic that Life magazine would be asking the question, Jesus, who is he? Who was he? The very author of life, Jesus Christ. Life magazine's asking, who is he? They ought to know who he is. He's the very author, and yet they've missed him. And you read the article in here, and it's just kind of a crack-up. It's sad. But you know what? I turned right over to the comment that they asked for an atheist. And if you're an atheist this morning, I know that you're much more intelligent than the man that offered up the definition for the atheist concerning Jesus. I wouldn't change a word that he said in this magazine. The atheist, when given the opportunity to respond concerning Jesus, he said he never existed. He just never existed at all. In fact, he's an imagination. He's been brought up and conjured in the minds of people, and the only thing he's good for is that he's a great marketing thing, this big business concerning Jesus, but there's no evidence that he existed. And I just read that, and I said, thank you, God. You couldn't have put a more ignorant statement, a more stupid and brainless statement from an atheist than what you did in this magazine. Throw out Greek history, throw out Roman history, throw out ancient history, throw out archaeological discoveries, throw out archaeology. Did you know that the Smithsonian Institute and the National Geographic Society, their number one book for archaeological consultation on sites for excavation is none other than the Bible? You cannot separate Jesus from the Bible. It's impossible. Can't do it. Jesus said, for lo, in the volume of the book it is written of me. He's not somebody who came along 2,000 years ago. The Bible declares that Jesus has been from the very beginning of time, that before time began and the worlds began, it was Jesus, and in fact, he is the one who created it all. He is the very one who came in human form. But people are asking the question, who's Jesus? And if they're not asking that question, they're going to ask the question, what's a Christian? And so that's the title of the message this morning. Those of you who are taking notes, is who's a Christian? That's a great question today. That's a great question in churches. I had the opportunity this last week to be 3 days in Orlando, Florida, with leaders from all around the United States for a time of 3 days of fasting and prayer to seek God's guidance for America. And it was a wonderful time. But we ran into people, we ran into pastors who were pretty shallow concerning the Word of God, I'll put it that way. And they were moved by what was going on. But God wants to do a work, and I want to tell you, we spent a tremendous time in prayer. This has nothing to do with the message, but I just need to excite you. There were men like Chuck Colson that would come up and speak, and then the topic that they spoke on, we would spend about an hour in prayer. And then Pat Robertson came up, and he began to speak on another topic, and Shirley Dobson, and on the list goes, bringing up certain topics, and then we would go to prayer. And it was a wonderful time. And to hear what happened just recently with Bill Clinton and Jocelyn Elders had to be a direct intervention by prayer. Absolutely a result of prayer and God's pastors praying in Orlando, Florida. We had a tremendous time. And I think God wants to turn around America, and he's going to do it through Christians who are, listen, by the way, this message, I'll tell you up front, has a little bit in it to offend everybody. God is going to turn America around through Christians who are truly Christians. Well, is there some other kind? Oh, yeah, there is. There's a lot of people, I think a majority, running around saying, I'm a Christian. But when their life is examined, you don't want to get anything near that. You look at somebody who says, well, I'm a Christian, and it is a tragedy. We've got people who are shooting abortion doctors. What the doctor's doing is wrong, but what this so-called Christian is doing is wrong. You don't shoot people. That's insane. Well, fundamental Christian killed a doctor today. No. Peter Jennings, no. That guy was not a fundamental Christian, you know. I was blessed to hear James Dobson interviewed Peter Jennings, and Peter Jennings admitted. He said, you know what? The church and the evangelical Christians have been unfairly slammed by a lot of the kook tactics that are going on out there, and that's good to hear. But the fact of the matter is, who's a Christian anyway around here? What's going on? And there was a recent poll, I say recent, George Gallup poll, who, by the way, is a born-again Christian, George Gallup. 1993 poll taken, and this is kind of confusing. You need to listen real closely. 86% of the Americans polled said that they were Christians. 62% out of the 86% said that they've had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Well, that's good if it's true. Unfortunately, though, 10% out of the 62% said that they consider themselves committed Christians who hold to the teachings and the doctrines of Jesus Christ found in the Bible. I.e., example, less than 10% of the people polled, not the 86, were truly Christians, because to be a Christian is to believe in the Bible, because Jesus said it is the very Word of God. Well, there was another poll taken. Another poll taken in 33 AD by Jesus of Nazareth. And in his poll it declared, he said, 100% of all humans will die in their sins unless they come to trust in him for the forgiveness of their sins. And that's found in John 8:24. And I stick with Jesus more than anybody else. But I found it ironic that Life magazine's asking the question, who is he? Well, I'll tell you who he is. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus says of himself, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Lord, who is. How's that? He's not a was, he's an is. He's not a has-been, he's a coming. And we need to be ready. We need to be ready. But we're going to look in Acts chapter 11 to really the second part now. We studied the first last week. Now we'll come to the second point, and that is the Gentiles not only accepted into the church, but the Gentiles now will be encouraged as they've come to the church. And so, in your notes, jot down the first point. That's in Acts 11, verses 19 to 21. Who is a Christian? A Christian is someone who preaches the gospel. And right now, I can feel it in your heart. The alarm goes off because you're not an orator. You're not a preacher. Jack, I can't speak publicly. Oh, no, maybe I should just come back next week. No, listen. The message that you and I are preaching has nothing to do with our words. The message that you're preaching, if you're a Christian, you see, you make the announcement, I'm a Christian. Do you realize you've just set yourself over in a box that's made out of glass and all the world begins to watch you? What kind of message are you preaching? What kind of message am I preaching? I was at a store the other day, and you know, people have told me about my voice. I can never fake it when I call somebody and say, yeah, this is John calling. No, it's not. Hi, Jack, I know it's you. How can you tell? Well, you sound like a frog. Everybody says I sound like a frog when I talk. I have never heard a frog talk. But if a frog could talk, how would a frog talk? He would talk like me, I guess. So I'm standing in this aisle, and I'm with my daughter, and I'm talking about something that we're looking, trying to remember what we're to get. And this lady comes around the corner. Oh, I heard your voice. I recognize your voice. Oh, you know, I've been going to church for a couple months, and we just really like it here. And oh, that's great. God bless you. Have a nice day. Okay, see you later. Walk away. And I asked my daughter, was I yelling at you or like beating you up or anything in the aisle? It caught me off guard. You know? What are you laughing at? And she goes, no, what was I talking about? We're talking about, you know, where we're finding the green beans at. And I go, oh, okay. Because I began to back up thinking, what was I saying? I mean, somebody was listening on the other aisle, you know, out of sight, out of mind kind of a thing. But God's not out of sight, even when he's out of mind. He's still there in the midst of us. What kind of walk do we have? That walk preaches a message. And it's very important. And so we're going to look at some of these things. Who's a Christian? One who preaches. Literally one who lives the life. In verses 19 to 21. It says there in verse 19, now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word of God to no one but the Jews. Cheat down to verse 20. First two words, but some. See that? But some. Verse 19, now those. Verse 20, but some. Some of the those preached to another group. But the group that's in verse 19 spoke to Jews only. Verse 19 takes us all the way back. See, we've been going through the ministry of Peter and Paul, or Saul's conversion. Remember, that's what we've been doing the last couple months. Now this automatically takes us back to Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Remember Stephen's preaching? And Saul with the temple guys begin to pick up stones and kill Stephen. And that's basically the last we hear about the church in Jerusalem. Well, now, Acts chapter 11, verse 19 opens our eyes back to the Gentile church and also, though, back to Jerusalem concerning the persecution and those that are leaving. Man, people are hoofing it out of town. Rocks are flying. You're packing up the kids, throwing them on the donkeys and the camels, and you're heading out because they're killing Christians. That's where Acts 11:19 puts us, back in that context. And as they were scattered, some going preached the word of God to who? To the Jews. Why to the Jews? Why the word of God? This is very, I think, exciting. In a moment, in verse 20, we're going to see that The Gentiles preached Jesus Christ. They didn't preach the word. They preached Jesus Christ. Why is there a difference from 19 to verse 20? Because the Jews knew the Old Testament. They preached the Old Testament salvation record to the Jews because that's how you bring a Jew to Christ. It's through the Old Testament, not the New Testament. And as they showed them in the scripture in verse 19 that Jesus is in the Old, he is in the Old Testament, he is the Messiah, then you tell them in wrapping up that he died for them and rose from the dead, and this is the Christ that you are to receive. No problem. But in verse 20, it says that they went there and preached Jesus because those of that region, and we're talking about the regions of North Africa and then Cyprus, you know, the little island just off the west coast of Palestine. And Phoenicia is the area of literally from, say, the Mount Carmel area all the way up into Syria. So there's a lot of people hearing the word of God all of a sudden now. But it's a mixed multitude, so to speak, from their backgrounds. And the Holy Spirit makes reference in verses 19 and 20 telling us that the word of God is going out. Let me tell you a little bit about Antioch, though. That's where all the action is. Antioch. And I want to ask you, would you move to a place like Antioch? It was extremely beautiful. It was a metropolitan center. It was very affluent. And everyone's going, oh, yeah, yeah, sounds good to me. Sounds like a good time. Well, you know, it was the third largest city in the Roman Empire. Antioch. It had a population of 500,000 people. The main street of Antioch was inlaid with marble 4 miles long. Can you imagine Chino Hills Parkway being made out of marble? But 4 miles! And it had marble columns that had awnings over the walkways that provided covering from the sun for the pedestrians for 4 miles. Not only that, it was the only and the first known ancient city of the world to have streetlights on the streets at night. Isn't that amazing? Well, you'd say, man, I'd like to move to a place like that. I mean, I'd like to go there. That sounds like a great deal. You know, let's go build a church. Let's go buy a house. Well, hang on for a second. Historians tell us that it was extremely diverse. That's okay. But it was known for its sin. Oh. Listen to this. Sin, the worship of Daphne was performed there. That worship included, it's a weird trip. In their understanding, Daphne was a virgin who was fleeing from Apollos in mythology, and he was going to rape her. And so she ran into a laurel forest of trees. And that's where their temple is, by the way, in Antioch, 5 miles outside of the town in a laurel grove. So their worship was, you play Daphne and I'll play Apollos. Though I need to say any more. And the whole city was involved in it. Would you like to move there? No, not now. Thank you very much. Well, listen, abortion was rampant in that city, according to historians, because of their worship practices. What else? It was the founding place of horse racing and gambling. You thought it was Santa Anita, didn't you? It was Santa Antioch is what it was. And historians wrote that the evil of Antioch even descended into Rome and in afflicted Rome. It was so evil. It was known to be at par with the city of Corinth or worse, Antioch. Let me ask you, would you move there? It's a beautiful place, but would you move there? And it kind of cracks me up because you know what? God's going to have Paul the Apostle make this his ministry headquarters, Antioch, for his ministry. It's where he's going to do all of his work from. In fact, it is going to be the focal point of the birthing of the Gentile church to the world, Antioch. It's going to be the focal point of the church in the world, the most sinful place in the globe. And where are these Christians going that are fleeing Jerusalem? Where would you go? Oh, Palm Springs, Yosemite, Yellowstone, Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Wouldn't you? That's where I'd go. No, they're going to Antioch, the most sinful place in the world. Why? The Holy Spirit's leading them that way. I'm concerned, you guys. I get a little worried. We're Christians. We get this mentality. Hey, you know what? Things are getting crazy. I'm going to go buy 200 acres and build a house on top of a hill and put barbed wire all around my property and be a Christian. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. What a witness. I tell you, that's neat, you know. Go buy that property. Have a retirement home, you know, if you retire. I don't know. But maybe to vacation at. But you know what? God sends Christians into the dumps of the world. What if all the Christians packed up and moved out of L.A.? You think it's bad now? Just wait. What if all the Christians packed up and moved out of Ontario or Chino or Chino Hills? You haven't seen any evil yet. What we're supposed to do is go into those places and change those places by the grace of God. But we've got this escape mentality, don't we? I confess, I've got it. Every time I head out of the county, I'm going, ooh, ooh, I want to move there. Oh, I want to move there. Oh, look at that. You know, you can breathe. But anybody can be a Christian in paradise. It's tough to be a Christian down here in this armpit of the world. God sends the church to places where there is sin. The scripture says, Paul told us in Romans 5:20, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. That verse was brought home this week as a pastor in Florida asked me. He pastors a Calvary Chapel in Florida. He said, how do you guys, what's the story? The Calvary Chapels and churches in California are just huge. What's the deal? Well, we have superior ministry technique. No, I didn't say that. I pat him on the back and I said, what's the matter, brother? Isn't the Holy Spirit out of your church? No, I didn't say that either. Don't you teach the Word of God, man? No, I said, you know what? Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. There are many believers being added to the church of Antioch. It's growing. It's going to become the largest church in the New Testament Christianity for its time, where sin is huge and rampant. That's encouraging. God help us to be the people that He's created us to be. Light and salt in the world, people who make a difference, not run away. I had a brother share with me after first service. He said, you know what, I'm glad you said what you said because our community's getting inundated with graffiti and I wanted to move out of town. I love my home, I love everything, but I wanted to get out of there. What do I do? I go out there and change the graffiti, paint it over, call the city, get on the horn. Praise the Lord, city of Chino Hills, they got on the horn, they drove the city nuts. You won't see graffiti up there in longer than 24 hours because the community won't stand for it. And in your own home or in your neighborhood, start praying. Start doing. Don't run out of town. Evil will get worse. These guys were fleeing to a terrible place. Verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them or was upon them. The hand of the Lord speaks of the power of God was in their lives. And a great number believed and turned to the Lord.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Who is a Christian? It's a look at verses 19 through 26 of the book of Acts chapter 11. We'll continue with more of this study on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Recently here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, specifically on Tuesday, September the 11th, obviously to commemorate the infamous date, we had three former Muslims speak from our pulpit. As you can well imagine, security was quite high here at the church. Well, if you weren't able to make it, here's good news. It's all available now on DVD. It's called Three Ex-Terrorists Speak Out, and it's yours for a gift of any size toward the radio outreach of Real Radio. Whether you call, click, or write, just remember the name, Three Ex-Terrorists Speak Out. You can read more about the DVD set at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Get in touch by telephone using our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. And in His Word. Inside.
You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.